May be seated, take your Bible, and turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And I'd like to read verses 18, 19, and 20. And what are you finding there? You know, we live in an unusual age. A lot of people have a complex about things in life. We've heard about, you know, people having an inferior complex. We heard about people talking about having a guilt complex. But did you know there's a thing going on in our day more so than ever called people having a God complex? And for that means simply this. The word complex means refers to someone obsessed with a certain conscious impulse or an unconscious impulse. In other words, it's desire to be God. Maybe not in word, if you'd ask, but in the way they do things in life, what they believe. When a person tells me, now hear me, hear this closely. When a person tells me that a man can be saved other than through Jesus Christ, they have formed a God complex. They're saying, I know more than what God has said. Therefore, I do not believe that. When a person tells me that this Bible is not the Word of God, they have formed a God complex. They are saying that I don't believe this to be the Word of God when God says it is. And anyone who would use the authority to deny against what God says has a God complex. That is, they're like Satan. They're saying, I know more than God. Come on now. Now, don't get duped with this world because they have a terminology that sounds religious and a little bit, you know, about God, but it's not godly. We've got to understand there's some facts about God and who He is. We wouldn't know without this book and without Him telling us. I was thinking about a young boy who said to his dad one time, the age we're living in, terminology a little bit different, but we're so smart today, we think that we can come have an answer for it. A little boy came to his dad one day and said, Dad, how about letting me have a half a dollar? He said, I want to teach you something. His dad said, I want to teach you something about economics, son. When I was a boy, I didn't ask for half a dollar. I asked for pennies. And the son said, well, Dad, how about give me 50 cents then? I mean, we live in an age today, or 50 pennies. We live in an age today that where people change things to fit where we're at just to get what we want to get. But notice what Paul says here in 1 Corinthians chapter, again, 3, verse 18, down a few of your verses. He says in verse 18, let no man, watch these next two words, deceive himself. Now, it's one thing when we talk about let no man deceive us, let no man deceive them. But here Paul says about this, he's talking about who Christ is here. He says, let no man deceive himself. Ladies and gentlemen, did you know that we can believe something is right when it's wrong and deceive ourselves? Amen. And that's what Paul is saying here. Let no man deceive. That includes everyone in the human race. Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seem to be wise in this world, let him become a fool that he may be wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolish with God. For it's written, he taketh the wise in their own craftiness. And again, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise. How does he know them? Now, he's talking about the wisdom of this world compared to the wisdom of God in the sense of getting it from God's word, which is the source we have in our day. He said, again, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain. Therefore, let no man glory in men, for all things are yours. Now, like this, all things are yours. In the last part of this verse 22, he said, all are yours. And he said, I don't care, and I just used a little bit of Johnson County language here, whether Paul, I don't care which Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world. Now, I pretty well understand those. I can accept that fairly easy. But he's telling me some other things are mine and yours too, if you're saved. And he said, or life or death. Isn't that a strange thing to put in that sentence? Or death? You mean that's mine? Yeah, well, we know it's ours going to die. No, God says when it comes to the child of his and the point when it comes of death, that's more than just, so to speak, death. It is going to be with him. It's a blessing. It's ours. It's like something God has given us to rejoice over. That's what he's talking about here. When he inserted death in there, I say, praise God. I'm getting closer to that now than I've ever been. And I thank God, I want God to help my mind change about this, because I'm going to serve Him as long as I can serve Him. But at the same time, I'm glad He says, even when death comes. You know why? Because He says in the Old Testament, precious in His sight is the death of His saints. And here He says, it's ours. Or things present or things come, all are yours. And watch. And you're Christ, and Christ is God's. In other words, these things God has given to us, which are ours, and we are Christ, and Christ is God. Look with me in 1 Corinthians chapter 8, real fast like, verse 5 and 6. In 1 Corinthians chapter 8, the Apostle Paul said this. He said, for though there be that are called gods, whether in heaven or earth, as there be gods many and lords many. He said, when it comes back, and hey, if it was in that day, 2,000 years ago, I can't imagine what it's like today. There be gods many and lords many. Then he says, but to us, the child of God, the born-again Christian, he said, to us there is but one God. You hear that, folks? Now, let me ask you a question. If there's only but one God, then somebody's got to be wrong. Somebody's got to be wrong. This world has many gods. Go any direction you want to in this world. As a matter of fact, go any direction in this country you want to, and you'll find there's a lot of gods. You say, why? Because, wait a minute, just because everybody uses the word G-O-D, God, doesn't mean they're trusting in the same God. They use it generally. It sounds good. So he dupes us and gets us to think that we're deceived if we're not careful who a true God is. You know why? Because we're not really set on who our God is. When a man is not settled on who his God is, suddenly when you hear of others, you're wondering, you're wavering, and not really sure. I'm going to tell you something. The God of this Bible will give you assurance who the real God is. And therefore, we may have most of the world opposition against us, but at the same time, we know who he is. For there is one God, the Father of all things. Isn't it amazing? Our God is our Father. You don't hear of another God that's on the face of the earth saying anything about their God being their Father. It's always their God and how to appease Him. We have a God in Christ who is our Heavenly Father. We're part of a family. And he goes on, and we in Him and one Lord Jesus Christ, by whom all things are, and we by Him. In God, we're in Him. And in Christ, we come by Him. Now, isn't it interesting when we talk about our God, you can't separate Jesus Christ from Him. Do you hear me, folks? Don't be deceived about this. Don't let the world deceive us about who Jesus Christ is, because most of the world don't believe He's who He is. And by the way, we're living in the latter days. It's going to get less and less and less of believing who He is. So eventually, He's just going to be a name among most religious people to hate like He is beginning to be now. His name is going to be taken from the names as far as before getting before God, because most people believe in no one between God and them except where they're at, and their God is only what they make Him to be. You can't trust Jesus Christ and get a relationship with the true and living God and make that God what you want Him to be. He will make us what He wants us to be, and we won't be what God wants us to be, and we won't go where He wants us to go. We have to believe that He's who He is, that He is, Hebrews says. And here, Paul is given that. Now, if you look in Romans chapter 1, back with me, in verse 21 through 25, for sake of time, it's gone. Good gracious, we're going to have to start early choir or something. It's gone. In chapter 1, we have Romans. You can read it later, but except in verse 21. In verse 20, it says, they without excuse, and then he says, because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, became in their imagination foolish, and their heart was darkened. What? They professed themselves to be wise, became fools. They changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into the image made like an incorruptible man, into birds and beasts, and into amazing. When a man believes in another God, this Bible, all of a sudden he makes things in his image, and that has to do with a man, which had to do some form of, you know, he won't be a full man. He may have a head and something else, some animal and something else. Or he may be a total. There's many things that people make their gods. And he says, when you turn from the living God, they're without excuse because what has been made. But if you turn from the living God, you begin to make these gods that you give power to. Anyone who forms a God to bow down to, they're going to give power to that God. Because they're going to control that God, so it doesn't control them. And then try to appease that God if they fail somewhere or another. And then he goes on, wherefore God gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own heart, dishonor their own bodies, who changed the truth of God into a lie, worship, serve the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forevermore. Amen. For this cause God gave them up to a vile infection. Who gave up? Those who changed the truth of God into a lie. Verse 27, and likewise the men, even this said, women did change their natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also, you know, there's a group of people going around nowadays who have to cut these verses out of the Scripture. If what they're saying is true. They have to cut it out. He said, and then also men leaving the nature of women, the natural use of women, burning their lust one towards another, men working with that which is unseemly, receiving in themselves that recompense of their error, which was meat. He said there's a penalty for that, and no doubt we're seeing that. I'll be honest with you, I'm going to say it out loud. I don't care who cares. I believe it all in my heart. There are things comes at times because of sin, and age may be one of those. I tell you this, you wouldn't have it if you didn't have this going on. And God says, I turn you up to you, turn you over to yourself, and I'll just leave. If that's what you want, I'll leave you there. You'll live your life, and the time will come. What I'm saying, ladies and gentlemen, modern man today has a God complex about himself. You tell me what you think, and I'll tell you what I think, but I'm going to tell you this, I'm not going to believe anything but what I believe. And that's a God complex. That means simply again, if I tell you that Jesus said himself that I'm the way, the truth, and the life, no man comes to the Father by me, and a person says they can get to God another way other than through Jesus Christ, they have a God complex. They're obsessed with themselves rather than with what God is having to say. And they're sitting with Satan himself in Isaiah when he said, I'll lift myself above God. I'll be like the Most High. Satan had a God complex. You know, when you think about life, Saddam Hussein personified the God complex. In Acts chapter 12, look there with me just a moment. I want you to read. I'm going to have to hurry. I declare I don't love to get in a hurry. I may have to make two messages out of this. Acts chapter 12, if you look down about verse 21 and 22, here's a case where there are some problems. Peter had just been delivered out of the jail, and now Herod had some problems with Tyre and Sidon, and they wanted to try to appease him, and suddenly they set up a great day for him in verse 21. And upon a set day, Herod arrayed in royal power and sat on his throne and made an oration unto them. Man, he must have been a tremendous thing, because it said, and the people gave a shout, said, it's the voice of God and not of man. He stepped beyond the bearer. The Bible says, immediately. Not the next day. They didn't have to take a doctor and say, can you evaluate this? It says, immediately the angel of the Lord smote him because he gave not the God the glory, and he was eaten of worms and gave up the ghost. He was completely destroyed because he come to the point he crossed over the line about who he was and who God was at that time. Prior to Adam's sin, Adam's entire existence revolved around God. He was wrapped up in God, his creator. We've been looking at on Wednesday night. We don't go no further than that. But Adam, ladies and gentlemen, he chose to separate himself from the source of his identity. Look in 1 Timothy with me, if you will, chapter 1. And we have this information in chapter 1 in verse 14. The Bible teaches us, and Adam was not, was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. She was in the sin. But interesting enough, it was not Adam that was deceived. He chose, Brother Money hit this morning, he made the choice to go against God and go with his wife. And that's what Paul said. Thousands of years later, it wasn't Adam that was deceived. He fell by transgression. Adam, though, was not deceived like the woman. You see, overstepping God's divine boundary is what transgression means. He went beyond the boundary. The boundary was God's law. The law to start with was the one commandment when God said it. And now we see sin had originated in God's creation through Lucifer, we know as Satan. And it entered in this world through Adam. It wasn't that he was deceived. He made a choice and threw us all in the mess that we're in today. Again, People today have identity crisis also. We're asking, you hear it all the time, who am I? Where did I come? Why am I here? What is the reason? And they're looking for these answers. They go on in search to find themselves. But Adam knew the truth. Many folks today know the truth. We're not talking about those who don't. Many know the truth. Knowing the truth, he still chose to disobey God. That's what Adam did. He knew the truth. It was he who told Eve what God had said. He knew what God had said. But when he saw Eve, that wonderful creature that God had made for him, in a fallen condition, he chose to go with her. And when he did, by the way, there's a lot of identity problems today. There's a lot of folks know the truth, but they chose to go against God. There's a lot of folks who quote scripture to you and say, I know that, but watch their life. It's not long. There's people who have taught. There's people who walk with God for you and suddenly make a decision against what God. In other words, they have a God complex. All of a sudden, they become stronger than what God says. And they end up in being destroyed as far as rewards are concerned, even if wanting to be saved. Here is what we're talking about. Modern man has a God complex. Today, I've seen people who also have identity crisis in the latter part of their lives. They go on searching to find themselves. Since man is lost, he cannot find himself, and he continues on searching. And you see, ladies and gentlemen, one generation after the other keeps searching of who they are, where they're from, and things about their life. But you see, until the man finds himself in the Creator through Jesus Christ, you see, his search goes on. The God complex is preoccupied with ourselves rather than with God. Man is obsessed with himself, and that's what we see happening in 2 Timothy. Also, as we look at chapter 3, in 2 Timothy chapter 3, here's how Paul puts that. But all of us know this. The perilous time's going to come. We lay these things and lays out, for thy men shall be lovers of their own self. What is obsession? What is this conflict? Men shall be lovers of themselves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, without natural affection. Same thing Romans 1 was telling us about men and women among themselves. Truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, have a form of godliness, he says, but denying the power thereof, he says, from search turn away. Verse 7, they're ever learning, but they never know the truth. I'm talking about a God complex many times in life and not know who the true God is. Folks, if you ever really know who the true living God is, through Jesus Christ, it's going to mean different than just walk the average modern religious walk. It means more than that. But we're living in an age today that's more so than I've ever seen. What we think about God when we face something that we have to make a decision on and know the truth and make a different decision other than what truth has to say. The God complex is preoccupation with ourselves rather than God. Man is obsessed with himself today. Yet to worship God is to be wrapped up in him. Romans 12:1 says, I beseech ye, present your bodies a living sacrifice, and goes on. You see, God does not want us wrapped up in ourselves. At least you want to say amen to that. Amen. He wants us wrapped up in him. Amen. And then we will have many things for ourselves to enjoy and be blessed with, but he will be first. I have four things, and I've got to get them to you in 10 minutes. Number one, have you ever noticed that you do not hear much about heaven today? You hear people use the term, but it's not a lot about going there. I'm talking about most people. I mean, we have excuses for everything. A lot of people talk about things. You think about coming to church. I was reading recently where a pastor was talking about some excuse for not going to church. And now people have... They're not excuses per se about not going to heaven, but it's trying to get settled here as if we've got to do so much before God can come back. I want to tell you, the wickedness of this world is going to bring the Lord back. We got to be looking for it. We're not helping him build his kingdom here now to the place that we got to get filthy rich and have it set up when he gets here. Hey, you and I can't set his kingdom up. Only thing we can do is be faithful and do what the church is supposed to do. And then he'll set it up. But this pastor said he visited a member of his and he had been out about 6 or 8 months, and his name was George. And he said, you know, I kind of miss you. I just wonder, I sure hope you're not backslidden. And George said, no, sir, preacher. He said, no. He said, I'm not backslidden. He said, the only thing that I want to Well, not exactly, he said, but I want you to know, preacher, this. He said, my wife is trying to learn how to play the harp. And she's been trying to learn it for 4 or 5 months now. And I'm going to tell you the truth, preacher, since she started praying, trying to play that harp, I've not been excited about going to heaven like I used to be. Well, that's about as good an excuse as anything, amen? I mean, excuse is excuse. What we're seeing, though, that people talk about heaven and going there in a different form than what men used to think and talk about it, and what people used to talk about it. Today, people are occupied with being adjusted to the here and now. Enjoy the influence now, the sort of heaven on earth. Most teaching and preaching seems to stop short of moving into glory from this life. Perhaps it's due to our lifestyle. We have more than we ever had before. And we're maintaining it, and it takes a lot to maintain it. Perhaps it's our lifestyle. Every one of us have better than we ever had. There's not a one in have better than your parents had. Every one of us have better. And I'm sure if you're any age on it, you had better than your parents had, unless they were born with a silver spoon in their mouth. And even that probably didn't last long. Amen? But anyhow, we're due to our lifestyle. We have not suffered enough to create an appetite of urgency about going to heaven. It seems that people want to live here forever or until there is no hope, then they begin to search for God. How many people go to the place where there's no hope but God, and then they start trying to turn towards God? It seems that they have not been placed in the proper circumstance to see the hopeless condition. People are obsessed with themselves. Good example of this, I think, is a story. I don't know if this happened or not. It was told that a preacher got up one Sunday morning and was touched because they were fighting alcohol in the town. And he preached against, warned against alcohol. And he just got caught up and he said, shouting from the pulpit, who makes all the money in this town and lives the best in this town? I'll tell you, the saloon keeper. He went on, he said, who has the finest houses in this town? And the congregation said, the saloon keeper. Who has to drive the finest cars in the, and the congregation said, the saloon keeper. Who has the most expensive clothes and furs in this town? And all this got into the saloon keepers. And they said, who goes to the biggest trips around the world? He said, the saloon keepers. And he said, I'm going to tell you. He said, my friend, who pays for all of that? He says, it's people in this town who pay for it. And he finished his message. He went out, and this couple came, started out and had hold hands. They'd been married about 5 or 6 years, and they were just having the happiest time in the world. He thought they were just happy because they were still married. And he went out, and he said to so-and-so, brother so-and-so, he said, I want to ask you something. I bet you decided this morning you're never going to drink a drink of alcohol, don't you? And they said, oh, no, preacher. He said, we don't drink anyhow. He said, you seem very happy. He said, yes, sir, we sure are. Yeah, we got an answer this morning. He said, what is that? He said, we're going out and start a saloon. It's easy how quick we can change when something comes and we think that it's a means of getting ahead in this life. But at the same time, thank you for laughing. At the same time, amen. At the same time, we got a God complex. We got a God complex. And it's folks, I guarantee you after this message, you're going to watch for that and you're going to see it. It's going to be more real to you than ever before when you hear people talk about God and see how they live. I'm talking to you that we, modern man has a God complex. And we see it, that is, we have become the authority. You go tell someone, well, I don't have to believe that. You do. If that's what you believe, fine. What Bible do you read? We read the same Bible. Oh, are you reading that? Or is King James? Well, not that. Well, you're not reading the same Bible then. If you're not using King James, you're not using the Bible I have. Well, they say, well, you want to use mine. Well, you use yours. But what I'm saying is that God's Word teaches us some things that if I don't obey and to disobey, I have a God complex about that. People possess with themselves, self-worth, personal identity, a position of self-image, self-help books, therapy circles. Much time and money are spent in search for happiness, not heaven. We're busy searching for happiness, not going to heaven. Man tries everything for fulfillment. The order of the day is changing the job or changing marriage partners or moving to another place or play the market. The moment of the day is what the world is looking at. It seems that all who go searching for themselves never come back successful. Jesus said, and I look at this in Matthew, what a blessing. In Matthew chapter, turn there, I want your eyes to see it. Look with me in, if you will, Matthew chapter 10 and verse 39. Jesus said, he that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loses his life for my sake shall find it. Boy, that's an amazing thing, isn't it? You're looking for your life, you find it, you'll lose it. But if you're looking for my life, you'll find yours. Then what? He that receiveth you, receiveth me. And he that receiveth me, receiveth him that sent me. We're intent. We're linked together. I love this. I know this. I'm not much of a preacher. I know this. I'm slow to learn. I know who I am. But I believe from the depth of my head to my feet that if I preach this book and a person receives me to preach this book, this is what Jesus was talking about. He will receive, if they receive the one who preaches the book, then he will receive the one who sent him, Jesus. And if they receive Jesus, it goes right up the line. They're receiving God. But when one denies the scriptures from the one that's teaching, they've denied Christ and they've denied the one who inspired the scriptures, God the Holy Spirit, leads to God. That verse says this again. He that receiveth you receiveth me, and he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. And you'll find out when you seek my life for your life. You'll find it. But if you don't, you seek it yourself, you'll lose it. Jesus is talking there. So therefore, people are seeking it. Drug addicts, perverts, thieves, these are told. Most of the time when they're caught in the trap of their sin, you need self-esteem. Now, we need some pride, but not to override God. If you don't have pride, you won't get up in the morning. If you don't have pride, you won't clean yourself to go to church, go to work in the morning. There's things you won't do for yourself if you don't have some pride. But it shouldn't make us come to the place where we have a God complex in the sense that we do think we're greater than God. Again, these things, they're told they have needed self-esteem. What they are really, they blame others. I'm not really to blame. They blame others. Their circumstances caused it rather than knowing who they are. They need to feel good about themselves. You hear this so much today. Do it. It feels good. Do it. Because God certainly wouldn't let you have anything that felt good if it be wrong. It's like self-esteem is supposed to alter their destructive behaviors. Ladies and gentlemen, that leads to the second point. The problem is not the absence of self-esteem. The problem is sin. The presence of sin. That's the problem. Today, people are not content to know good and evil. They want to decide for themselves what is good and evil. That is what happens when we men forsake God's ways and opt for their own ways. Judges 17:6 says, in those days their way, in those days there was no king in Israel, for every man did that which was right in his own eyes. And ladies and gentlemen, you'd have to agree when it comes to this world, people are doing the same thing. People are doing the same thing, what's right, and then we collect together with those who agree on what each one thinks is. So we got these pockets of people who believe what is right and wrong, but they're different from each other. And Jesus faced that in his particular day also. The humanist views man as an autonomous, self-centered, and God-like person. He sees man as the measure of all things. To the humanist, the supernatural does not exist. Man uses their own intelligence in cooperation with each other to build a society of enduring peace. Even long life in this life is being sought through other means than believe in God. They think that they can accomplish it because we have come so far in the last century. They look at the church. They look at the doctrine of the church that's thus saith the Lord. And when they look at the doctrine of the church that thus saith the Lord, they view the church as their enemy. And that's where we're at today. The church that believes this book in God through Jesus Christ has become the enemy to this world rather than the Savior. Now, in our hearts, he's the Savior, but he's become the enemy. I see today people make their own rules physically and spiritually, determine their own standards and set their own agenda without God's practice. Doing so, they create their own problems. Paul saw himself not as having a problem. Paul said, I am the problem. Look at Romans 7. Are you talking about a problem? I am the problem. I got to understand how to deal with myself. God, oh God, help this wretched man. That I am, that I might know thee and know what it is that need to do. When we go through these things, people have forgotten that man is a sinner. Self-generated motion is no substitute for overflow and filling of the Holy Spirit. We have to be very careful, for there's a selfish psychology that is dressed up in Christian terminology. They say, as you see yourself positive, you will see yourself as God sees you, discern the good things in life. And suddenly you're caught in the philosophy of Robert Tilton and Robert Schuller and men like that, who say this. Robert Tilton said on his broadcast back, I have a record of that. He said, we're a powerful group. We are not going to heaven simply limping in, barely making it. When God delivered Israel, they were taken with silver and gold. Deuteronomy 8, 17 through 18, they always quote, He's given us power to create wealth. We're in the greatest hour that the church has ever seen. The only thing about it is, ladies and gentlemen, God doesn't give us, if you get wealth, got to create the power. But I'll tell you this, most of us, 99.9% of us have to work for it. Not too many of us hit the lottery, right? You have to work for it. And a man who works hard and works for it, he deserves every cent he gets. But God said, don't come to the place that I'm anything other than first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. You see, this philosophy blinds people to God's wrath against sin. So the problem is not the absence of self-esteem, it's the presence of sin. And then, of course, the third thing, the Bible never teaches man to be consumed with himself. Self-love, self-exaltation is a priority over oneself, is not taught in the Bible. God teaches us that we are somebody, that we are children of God. What an amazing thing. I look at you, if you're saved, you are a child of God. That's better than not being a child of God. Thank God for that. You're an inheritance. You're a joint heir with Jesus Christ. Man, that's something. And I always think when I hear these fellas talking about us helping God get to, hey, why would God want stuff here that we consider precious when he just paved the street of gold with it? Why would he have to have us work so hard to help him bring the kingdom in because he's making us rich to take it? Hey, Israel took theirs with them. I don't need mine. Where am I going? I'm going to get a glorified body, praise God. I'm going to walk on a street of gold. So will you if you're saved. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying it. Don't come trying to deceive people. The fact that we need to get this all this wealth at the end. Thank God for every dime you get. I hope everyone will become multimillionaire. But I'll tell you this, if we ever do, as long as I'm pastor, these faucets will never be made out of gold. Amen. There's nothing about that need gold in there. We might get the best. What can we get, brother? We might get the best we can get, but it won't be gold faucets, I tell you that. What am I saying? I'm just trying to get across to you folks. We live in an age of a modern day God complex. We are smarter than we've ever been before. We have more than we ever had before. And there's some reason about it is that we feel like where we're at, that we can handle about anything that comes along. One person said recently to me, preacher, I seem to feel like that most people pray towards the government than to God. I said, that's probably so. If we don't, we act like we need the government more than we need God. Oh, my. God, give us a good day today. Jesus said, Christ instructs those who follow him to deny himself. He said, deny himself and take up the cross and follow him. The victorious Christian neither exalts nor downgrades himself. His interest shifts from himself to Christ. 1 Corinthians 1, 3, Matthew 6 said, we are to obey the Lord. That's what we should do. I know it's after about 5 minutes. I'm through just about. The problem is not absence of self-esteem. The problem is presence of sin. And we're so easy to slip in our day. The Bible never teaches people to become consumed with themselves. Now is the time to intercede for God's interest and to teach the heartbeat of God in this world. What is that? To let get us so we can correctly worship him. How's that done? May I say to you, through the precious blood, and I say it, God help me exalt it, of Jesus Christ. Amen. It's him and him alone that makes it possible. I am what I am by the grace of God, Paul says. And I leave this morning with a message that I've strove over this week much about, because it's not a message you hear much about today. May God keep us from a God complex. Today, modern man has a God complex. Next time you hear someone and you begin to talk to them, have a chance to give them the truth, and you know it's the truth. I'm not talking about something that you fought off in the end and went with because it just felt good. I'm talking about you've got scripture back, right, left, up, down, every way possible, and you know it is the truth. Then realize if it's rejected, they have a God complex, and you have to pray for them. Best thing to do is walk away and say, Lord, please help me help these people. This has been so obsessed with ourselves that we become God to ourselves until the Holy Spirit can show us who we really are. If you're here this morning, you're not saved. You are a sinner that needs to be saved by God's grace. If you are saved, you were a sinner saved by God's grace and now a child of God. But never forget that God brought you from where you were at. Some people, had a person tell me not long ago, bless God, don't call me a sinner now, I'm saved. I said, what did you say that for? He said, because I'm saved. I was a sinner, but I'm not now. I said, isn't it amazing? The Apostle Paul was probably one of the greatest saints that walked this earth. You read Romans 7, he still had a battle with his flesh. And he cried, oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of flesh? See the difference? If Satan get me to think that I'm such a saint, and I believe that I think when I got saved as if I'd never sinned, I believe that. I believe I'm justified in his sight. If he never get me to think that I'm saved, and, you know, and the fact is that I'm such a saint now, I don't have to worry about where I was at, I'm gonna not long mess up, because I'm looking at myself, and you and I don't have the power in ourselves to walk the Christian life. We need God's help. Amen. Every one of us do, folks. And I say, wherever you're at, thank God where you're at. When I talk about all, if you drive something from England, or if you have a Hoover car, God loves you. God cares for you. And you do what you do the best and realize whatever happens in this life, thank God for the blessings of life and never become a modern day man with a God complex. Don't be obsessed with self. If possible, be obsessed with Him. My Father, Lord, I thank you for this. Lord, I don't understand these messages. They're getting harder to preach, but I'm trusting you. I'm going out with a bang, Lord. I've done my best to preach what you have preached for 52 years now and 44 anymore here in this place. Lord, we need to hear a message about today. We need to hear where we're at. We don't need sugarcoat. We need to hear where we're at. We need to be identified to things in this life and then get a fresh view of who you are. And then enjoy the blessings, oh God, that you sent our way, because we know that you are first. And as you bless us in this life financially, dear Lord, health-wise and other things, we never get to the place that we don't realize we always need you. We need you, Lord. We need you so much today to maintain the Christian life as we did to get it. Lord, this world offers so much to us. Please help us. Help someone. If there's someone here this morning, Lord, who's not trusted Christ because somebody in their life has hindered them, please help them get their eyes off of that person and look to Jesus Christ. I promise him, he will not disappoint them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.